Indeed, Lord, that's our prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with me very quickly again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Once Baba agreed to speak here this morning, I was wondering what will happen. But actually, she said what I perceived in my spirit, which was that I would still come up. It won't be that long, but I would still wrap up certain things. I began to speak. Well, of course, all of the teachings since Thursday has been on the theme, really. Has been on the theme concerning spirituals. Can I hear you say concerning spirituals? What I perceived in my spirit was what he then said, which is that I would still come up. So we're just following what, again, those are spiritual things. Hallelujah. And that's how you walk in the spirit. You follow what you sense. There's an inner direction. Jesus was speaking, I believe, in John chapter 5. He said, it's what I see my Father do that I do. You know, so I'm not just doing things. And that underlies the spiritual. And that's part of what he was entirely ensure that you are, and he said that yesterday, you are internally controlled, not externally controlled. And what that means is that you are walking from the Spirit. Can I have an amen? You are not following just what you see, what you hear, and you are definitely not reacting to what you see and what you hear, but you are picking things up, meaning that things can happen, people can say things, but you don't do things just because of what happened. You will have to search within and get the signals from within, which are actually signals from above, hallelujah, to know what you are supposed to do. If you just react to the things you see, the things you hear, the things that are happening, you might miss God by a mile or more. Are you with me? So that's why we're talking about spirituals. And like I pointed out, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul spoke and he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, you'll find in most Bibles, but it's italicized, so it was added for additional clarity. It was not in the original manuscript from which the Bible was translated. Okay, so it was taken or added, and therefore what he was talking about was concerning spirituals, and that's why the theme is concerning spirituals. And if you read further down in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he was talking about gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. He was talking about ministry gifts. He was talking about operations of the Holy Ghost. So he was talking about many things, but all of them about how the spiritual influences the natural, and the fact that we must not be ignorant of the spiritual things. I think Baba said it in another more emphatic way this morning, which is, don't just not be ignorant, but rather make that the priority of your knowledge and of your focus in life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's not just that I'm not ignorant, it's that this is actually something that I pay the most attention to before anything else. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 4 as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read from verse 16. It says, therefore we do not lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4:16. It said, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So there's an inward man. Can I hear you say there's an inward man? That's the real man. Okay, that's the real you. The real you is not the person I'm seeing. And I've said it for many years that the spiritual is more real than the physical. The spiritual and the spiritual things are more real than you that I'm looking at. You can be AI, you can be whatever, but the spiritual things are more real and they are eternal. That's what we'll read in here. So it says, therefore, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, except for our light affliction. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And while we are going through all of that, verse 18, he said, while we do not look at the things which are seen, that's what we just said, we don't pay attention to the things that are seen, he said, but we look at the things which are not seen. It means that the things that are not seen can be seen. Are you there? The things that are not seen can be seen. I woke up yesterday praying, and I was just thinking about the meeting today, and I was remembering the testimony of Pastor Mayo Wakolade, my pastor's son, And I was just remembering the testimony. And actually, I went to a church dedication, and Pastor Koladi was preaching, and he was there. So I said, oh, what a coincidence. I didn't use the word coincidence, you know. But I said, oh, I was thinking about you this morning, and thinking about your testimony, and maybe I need to get my facts right. You know, I just recollected it. It just comes back to you. And I remembered, so it's verified. You're re-verified. Because Pastor was also there, and we talked about it again. So it's re-verified. And I said, I just remembered that as a child, or as a younger person, you were using glasses. You know, and he said, yeah, that's probably around late primary school, early secondary school. I said, just before service one day, sat in the office, in that office, and all of a sudden, that said he went in the bathroom and he came out, and he saw him just looking and doing like this, and doing like that, and doing like this. And he just said, what's wrong with you? He said, I just saw a hand. I just saw a hand come, and the hand just touched my eyes, and I can see. And I don't need the glasses. We're talking about the spiritual being real. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's nothing you can pay to get that done. If there was a possibility of some kind of special surgery, then that might have been done. And many people would have undergone it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But all of a sudden, just sitting there, that happened. We're talking about the spiritual being real. And Paul says here, he says all of what you go through and the things that tend to capture our attention, the things that tend to creep us, Paul called it, he said, our light affliction. Now, before you start thinking, you don't know what's wrong with me, go and read Paul's own rap sheet. I mean, is it rap sheet, they call it. Go and read Paul's own profile. Read the things that he went through, and then come tell us whether you have gone through half of them or you're going through half of them. And despite all of that, the man said, look, I was in the bottom of the sea 3 nights and 3 days. He said, I was given 39 stripes. You know those stripes of those people? Those are the whips that they put spikes on the whips. So they take a whip, the koboko. Soldier is just kobokoing you now, you are screaming. This one, they will put spikes in the koboko and they will whip you with it so that when it lands on your back, it will pierce you and then they pull it back and it will tear your back. He said, I was given 39 straps. 39 straps. He said, I was even left for dead. And then the man wrote, he said, our light affliction. Our light affliction. And then he said, while we are going through all what we go through, we don't look at the things that are seen. We still look at the unseen. We deal with the spirituals. We don't deal with the things that we can see. Are you hearing me this morning? He said, why is that so? Because the things that are seen are temporary. Can I hear you say temporary? Anything you might go through will change. And at worst, it will change when you die. Are you hearing me? He said, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Therefore, here and afterwards. So he wrote again to some people. He said, look, godliness is profitable. Bodily exercise is profitable. He said, but godliness is better because it's profitable for the life that now is and the one that is to come. He's saying that the things of the spiritual have value for now. And they have value for the future. Are you hearing me? That we benefit from them for the now, but we benefit from them also for the future. They are more important than the things we are chasing. Can I have a loud amen? So this morning, I'll just quickly, I think I've taken some time, I'll just quickly tell you three things. Now, let me first say this, three things about if you want to walk in the spiritual manifestations. We've spoken about some of those things and said these are for our profiting. If you want to see God walk in you, through you, much more than before, you want to walk in the spiritual things and see spiritual manifestations much more. I'm just looking at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. If you sit down and study them, there are three things that I will emphasize in there that will help you to walk in the spiritual gifts of God. Are you hearing me? Number one, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. And when I say 12, 13, 14, that's to make a point to you. But when the Bible was written, it wasn't written in chapters and verses. Okay, these were letters. Can I hear you say letters? So nobody writes letters and say chapter 1. Then you write your friend, dear Jide, chapter 1. If I went Jide reads chapter 1, when is this chapter 1? He says, yeah, kilo she. Then he says, verse 1. You know, I actually write emails in a funny way sometimes. I write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5. I mean, I write emails that way. So I write somebody the artist, I say number 1, or if I may not put number to that one, greetings, and then, you know, maybe number 1. You need to check this out. Number 2, we're dealing blah, blah, blah. Number 3, you know, and I write emails that way because I saw somebody who wrote it and I saw it brings clarity. So that if I write email, I don't write lengthy emails, but if I write my mail, then you can tell what the main points are. Now, it's the same way that they took the letters of Paul and they put them into chapters and verses for clarity. So, and for reference, so that we can study them, we can look at it, we can refer to them. But why am I saying all of that? I'm saying that when you actually study them, sometimes you need to remove the chapters from your head, remove the verses from your head, and understand that this is a letter and there's some continuity here. And in terms of thinking and topic, chapters 12, 13, and 14 go hand in hand. Can I hear you say 12, 13, and 14? Go hand in hand. It means that concerning spirituals, we don't want to be ignorant, and in not being ignorant, study 12, 13, and 14 together. Are you with me? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the first point, you want to walk in the spiritual gifts, in the spiritual manifestations, in the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. What does it say? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Let's read that again, the first sentence. But earnestly desire the best gifts. So the first thing you must do is what? Earnestly desire. Can I say here, you say earnestly desire? That's what we're reading in Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brooks. And what he's talking about, if you study it well, you know, sometimes you need to go and study and say, oh, how does the deer pants for the water brook? When the deer is thirsty, it begins to pant. And it can smell water from miles away, and it's panting for it and aiming for it. And that's what he's talking about. That's strong desire. That strong desire for the things of God. You can't walk in them if you are like a desiccal, or you are just too lukewarm about the things of God. Are you hearing me? One of the books that fired me up as a young person, or younger person, in high school was a book by Oswald J. Smith, The Man God Uses. Those are the kinds of things you read in there. There has to be a strong desire for the things of God. You must prioritize, desire God. I want to know Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to go deeper. I would pray and I would tell God, if there are 100 things that you have promised a Christian, I want to walk in all of the 100, not 99. That was my prayer. I want to walk in all the 100. I don't want to get to heaven and then you tell me, this was available for you. But I read this statement many years ago, and the person said the pain of regret is very heavy. When you see what you could have had, what you could have done, and all of that, and you didn't. He said the pain of regret is very heavy, and I told myself, I will do everything I can. I will keep fighting and pushing to not have that pain of regret when I face Him. Can I hear the earnest desire? You can't get it casually. And the price, I can take the time and tell you about people and the price that they paid. The kinds of things they did. And I'm talking about people around us. I think Reverend Akiojo was telling us, he mentioned Brother Talks on Thursday. You know, you know who he was talking about. Reverend Tokubadejo has been here a few times. He's the director of Rema Bible Training Center. A dear friend. But I tell people that, look, when he was in this city, we were all here growing up together. When he was in this city, he attended Vine Branch Church too at some point. He would go to midweek services, sometimes without money. And he would walk from there to Dubai. I can say it now and describe, and just say it. You all know where Vine Branch is at Mokola there. You know where UI is. And if you know UI very well, their house is beyond Idiaol. You know where Idea Hall is, inside UI. So one day, Reverend Kolade said, you know, I just realized that when service is over, like, he would dash out.
And he would just run off and start going. He said, the one day, I said, you leave too quickly. Wait for me. After service, wait, I will drop you. He said, that's the day he knew what distance he was walking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Say, earnestly desire. That strong desire must be there. You must be thinking, I want God more than I want the things around me. Then you will experience God. Now, if you read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to my second point. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, earnestly desire the best gifts. He said, but I show you a much better way. And that took you to 1 Corinthians 13. And that's why I said that you have to read it all together. Because he was saying, look, desire the best gifts, but there is a better way too. Now, the desire is not just about, I wish, you know what they say, if wishes were horses, beggars were right. I didn't understand it for many years. You know, when they say those things, I didn't understand it. But the English was too much for me. But what they were saying is that if, let's put it in pure terms, if wishes were Mercedes Benz, beggars will have one. That's what he's saying, that if you just wish it and it will happen, then everybody will have it. That's what the saying says in simple terms. But when you say desire, it goes hand in hand with pursuit. Can I say, here you say pursuit? You know, I desire to play the keyboard. I desire it. Honestly, I desire it. I have a keyboard I bought for my children to learn the keyboard. And then the keyboard is sitting in the house, in the sitting room, but I desire to play the keyboard. Every time I pass it, I tell myself I desire to play you. But I don't know how to play it. The problem is that I've desired it for years, but I've not done anything about it. I did see some advert app online. I did call a friend and I said, hey, how can I learn this thing on my own? Because I don't think I can go to a lesson. I don't have time. Then he said, okay, to look at this and look at that. And he sent me all kinds of things. I have not looked at them. Abi? So you will query my desire. Are you hear what I'm saying? You have to question my desire and say, do you really desire? Because if you did, you would have created time for it. You would have found a way to do something. They have sent you the do-it-yourself at home, and you have not done it. Go to lesson, you have not done it. So what do you mean by desire? That's the question we need to ask many people. What do you mean by you desire God? What do you mean by you desire the spiritual gifts? What are you doing about it? I mean, things have been said. You are not even in church. You are not in prayer meeting. You are not even praying at home. Where is the desire? You know, I ran into somebody in the hotel this morning who's a pastor in the U.S., but it's my friend's brother. And we were just talking, you know, briefly and fellowshipping. And he was telling me about one of the pastors, RCCG in London, one of the big-name pastors there, RCCG. And he said, you know, the man was telling them, because he was looking at my tablet. He said, the man was telling them that, and I was telling him, I said, the tablet I carry, you know, how many versions of the Bible? I said, because of the way I travel, I can't carry the Bible. So I run into trouble with load. In fact, even with the Bible tearing and what have you. I said, one day I had to make a conscious decision to say, this cannot work for me anymore. And I switched to an electronic Bible. And I said, but it's such a blessing to realize that I can carry so much in it. And he was then telling me about this pastor. And he said the pastor was telling them that, you know, in those days, even if you are coming to preach, that he will carry bags. Because the bag contains his real Bible, contains Dick's reference Bible, it contains a parallel Bible, and you have to carry bags full of those books because you are going somewhere to travel. You may need to refer to any of them. You know, and I said, that's exactly what I faced. When I was going to do my master's in the UK, I carried Dick's Bible. I mean, all those things were thick, heavy. So the weight allowance we are, I mean, allowed to carry, half of it is already the Bible and your study materials. You know, I said, but I carry so much more. I don't know, multiple times more in this small device. I carry perhaps all of Kennedy's books are here, plus more, the Elder's book, plus all, I mean, I mentioned diverse authors, they're in that book. I said, so I can't be stranded for want of something to read or feed on. Are you hearing me? Desire goes with pursuit. But those things didn't load themselves there. I loaded them there. In fact, some I bought. I bought the game full package from somebody. I just online, they were advertising it. I had all the books, PDF. I called them. I said, what will it take? How much? I said, bring it to me. I want it. So they came and downloaded everything for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because it's desire. As I was coming this week, I think Pastor Obi didn't remember that I'd been asking about bookshop. Because there were some books I was looking for. Biographical books about Nigerians that I was looking for, and I couldn't find them. And at the bookshop where I bought the ones I bought before, had closed. So I came to it and I asked, I think I asked you too, that which bookshop can I go to that will have these kinds of books? And I couldn't find them. But that desire had not left me. It couldn't leave me. It can't leave. These are people who have impacted this country and nations around. And I was looking for it. I was hungry. As the deer pants for the water. So I wonder, I said, what am I doing? The author's contact is there. So I looked at it. I opened it. In fact, that day I photographed, because that's like 4 a.m. I photographed the page. I said, so in case I'm gone again and I can't get, I will call him. So I called. I called the number and somebody picked. And I said, I'm looking for the books. They said, fantastic lady. So I will send you a list. And you tell me which ones you want. She said, where are you? I told her. She said, you can get in this bookshop around there and this other one, which is a little farther away. She said, but I can bring them to you. I said, fantastic. Said, and I just gave her the list. This. And as I was coming Thursday morning, she came and met me before I left town, and I collected the books. Desire goes with pursuit. Are you hearing me? But he said, I will show you a better way. And then all of that 1 Corinthians 13 that you read, Paul was showing you that if you are desiring spiritual gifts, spiritual manifestations, you must walk in love. Can I hear you walk in love? Making it a little short. When you read the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will often read in there that the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion and healed them all. So what was driving the manifestation of the gifts of healing? The Bible says he was moved with compassion. Can I hear you say moved with compassion? Now, that compassion that the Bible talks about is now described in full in 1 Corinthians 13. That you must walk in love, but this is the description of the kind of love that God is talking about. Is patient, is kind, is long-suffering, does not keep a record of wrong, but you must care about people. Can I hear you say amen? And it's an unconditional kind of love, and it's also an intentional kind of love. It's not passive, it's also active. There's no walking in spiritual gifts if you don't love people. I think it was Lester Sumrall that had been sick. He was sick and dying. And as a child, as a teenager, he hated preachers. He hated God. His mother was fervent. His father wasn't. And he said every time preachers would come to town, they would stay. They would ask him to leave the room for them. So they would stay in their room, and their mom loved to host them. And he said not just that, when they sat on the table, they would eat all the chicken. He said they took my bed and ate my chicken. He said so I didn't like them. And I didn't like God. But one day was dying, sick on the bed, dying of tuberculosis. Back in the day, if you have it, you are dead. Dying and coughing up blood. And he said, one night, the mother called all her friends and they were praying and praying. He said, that night he had a vision on the deathbed. The doctor came and the doctor said, this boy will die this night. He said, in fact, the doctor told them, he said, look, I will not have time to come back to certify him dead, but I will write the death certificate now. So the doctor wrote a death certificate and said, all I will need to put is time. It's that time of death. Look at the time that he died. And you tell me I will feel that later. But he's dying. And he will die today. And truly he was dying. He said, but while he stayed on that bed, he had a vision. As the mom and her friends were praying in the sitting room, he had a vision. And God showed him on one hand the coffin. On the other hand, he showed him the cross. And the Bible, and God says, if you will preach, you will not die. If you will not preach, you will die. How many people know what he chose? So as a teenager, I quickly surrendered to God. And by morning, he was completely healed and off that bed. So the doctor came back to find that he needs to tear the death certificate. Well, completely on his feet. But here's where I'm going. He said he began to preach for many years. He left home and went around preaching. He said, but he was preaching to survive. He was preaching to stay alive. That if I don't preach, I will die. He said, and one day he was preaching and he just felt like there was no life in what he was doing. And God said to him, the reason is because you are only preaching to stay alive. God said, you don't love the people. He said, if you love the people, then things will change. There will be a fire in you. And he said, that's when he changed and the ministry changed and went to another level. Are you hearing me? When you care about people, the gifts will come into manifestation. The very first time I remember, I actually prophesied in public, well, in university. And we were going for a prayer meeting. And my desire in my heart was just, God, I want to be a blessing. I was not pastor. I was not the pastor there. I just said, God, I want to be a blessing. That's what I was thinking about and praying about as I went there. And when I went there, I said, God, use me. I want to be a blessing. And when I got there, towards the end, as we were praying, I had a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom and a prophecy. And I struggled with it, and I was struggling with it, and I was thinking to myself, I'm not the pastor. How do I do this? What do I do? And God said, you asked me to use you to be a blessing. He said, so you have to do this. And thankfully, just before they closed, the pastor said, does anybody have a word? And I raised my hand. And I said, there's somebody here, you have been discouraged. You are totally depressed and very discouraged. And I gave the word and prophesied scriptures, the things that God laid on my heart. And I said, this thing will be broken, that spirit of depression and blah, blah, blah. Because God says this, God says this, God says this. And I left it at that. It was during the week the pastor called me and he said, come. He said, you know what happened? And I said, what? He said, there was a lady who was very depressed. They have been counseling her for some time. He said, she has stopped going to classes. She just stopped. She was very depressed. He said, and there's nothing I said that was encouraging her. He said, but when you prophesied that night, he said, something broke. She was there. And everything lifted. And she started going back to classes and she was fine. He said, the interesting thing also was that the scriptures we were quoting were the scriptures that even used to counsel and to encourage her. He said, but there's something about spiritual manifestations that once it came through that medium, there was a power behind it that broke it. Thank God he told me, hallelujah, because that was good encouragement. Are you with me? I was on a flight sometime. I don't remember where I was going. But I knew the lady was going to South Africa. But I was going to transit somewhere. And I sat down and this lady sat beside me. She seemed a bit downcast. And I said, hey, you know, normally I'll greet you, nice Christian. So I greeted, ah, good evening, how are you, blah, blah, blah. And she just wasn't in a great mood. So I said, ah, is there something wrong? She said, I have a toothache. She said, but I couldn't do anything here. She said, but I'm hoping that she lived in South Africa. She was Nigerian. She said, but I'm hoping that I can just manage and get there and I'll go see my dentist. She said, but I'm having this ache. I've used painkiller, blah, blah, but it's bad. And I couldn't just see a dentist here yet. But I'm hoping I just get there and do it, but it's aching. You know, and so left her in peace. And we got to the transit point and we got down, we got back up. She was beside me. And she was crying. And I said, what's that? The pain is very bad. So I said, can I pray with you? The compassion. I said, can I pray with you? She said, yes. And I prayed with her, and in minutes, sound asleep. Until we landed there. Sound asleep, we landed, no pain. Walked off, bye-bye, God bless you. Are you with me? He said, desire spiritual gifts, and yet I show you a better way. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, he puts it again. He said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. You know, he used two different words. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love is a stronger term that he used there, meaning that he said desire earnestly, but he used a stronger term still for the loved one. I said, pursue this one, but don't leave the desire alone. Hallelujah. Let me very quickly tell you number three. So we've talked about 1 Corinthians 12, 13, the last verse. We've talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as a whole. So all of those things, that's the love of God. Let that love of God overwhelm you. Let it work in you. Let it function in you. And then we go to 1 Corinthians 14. And Paul devoted 1 Corinthians 14 to how the gifts to be operated in the church. However, right after verse 1, when he talked about that, when he talked about pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, he said something. And he said something about praying in other tongues. Can I hear you say pray in other tongues? So three things I'm saying to you this morning. One, desire the gifts earnestly. Two, love. Walk in love. And three, pray in other tongues. Can I hear you say pray in other tongues? If you don't know how to pray in other tongues, go get the tongues. Be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And even that is possible here this morning. And then Paul devoted that whole chapter now describing mostly about tongues, the praying in other tongues, and as well as the gift of tongues, where you deliver a message in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. All tongue-y. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he devoted that whole chapter to around the mysteries of praying in other tongues, of the gift of tongues with the interpretation of tongues. But I'm saying to you, verse 2, he said something very important. He said, because he that prays in other tongues does not speak to men. Are you there? He said, he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, that mysteries is not like something we can't understand, something we can't know. What he's saying is that in the spirit, he's discussing spiritual intricacies. So when you pray in other tongues, you are discussing spiritual intricacies with God. That's what he's saying. And we can spend the whole time, Romans chapter 8, 26, 27. He talks about the fact that we don't even know what to pray for as we ought to pray. We don't know how to pray for the things. We don't know what to pray for. We don't know how to pray for them accurately. He said that's an infirmity. He said, but the Spirit helps that infirmity, helping us. And then verse 27, he says that because when we do that, we pray accurately. Can I hear you say accurately? It means we are praying out whatever God wants to do. They asked me, Wigglesworth. I mean, there are different figures you read everywhere. But Smith Wigglesworth was said to have raised over 20 people from the dead. Some say much more than that, but they are talking about the people that were certified by a health professional. That they don't want to even count the ones that there was no health professional there. They are only counting the ones that there was a health professional and checked and said this man is dead. He raised at least 20 from the dead. And they asked me, Wigglesworth, how do you do it? Because they call him an apostle of faith. They said, how do you do it? How come you just come here and start ministering like that? And there's the power of God. He said, all I do is that I go in private and I edify myself in tongues and I come out and I edify the people. Are you hearing me? He said, I edify myself in private, and then I come out and I just edify the people. I edify myself in other tongues. I build. The word edify there that you read, you find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. He says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. It's like he charges the battery. That word edify is the word that you use for charging. He charges his battery. You know, there was a time, my phone was running out of battery. And the battery was down. And I was trying to take a picture. and it wouldn't open. The camera function wouldn't work. And I thought there was something wrong with my phone. It took me a while to realize. I tried and said, what has happened to this app? What has happened to this app? I tried again. It wouldn't open. I said, what's wrong with my phone? It took me a while to think, it's the charge. Probably. And then I charged it a bit and it opened. That illustration is to tell us that there are certain things that won't work in you except you are charged to the phone. Are you hearing me? Except you are charged adequately, there are certain things that will not work. There are certain things that will not work in you, through you, because you are not charged. There are some apps that cannot work. Spiritual apps. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's John Gillick also. John Gillick was a missionary to South Africa. And I will tell you much of the stories there. But go read his biography. He returned to the U.S., Spokane, Washington. And they declared Spokane, Washington the healthiest city in America. Because John Gillick was there. Set up healing homes where people will come, where you have the worst cases, and they will pray until you get healed. Until the city was declared the healthiest city. Spiritual things are real. Are you hearing me? I wrote down a quote of John Gillick. They asked John Gillick, and John Gillick said, "Tongues have been the making of my ministry." He said, "It is that peculiar communication with God, when God reveals to my soul the truth that I utter to you day by day in the ministry. Many times I climb out of bed, take my pencil and pad, and jot down the beautiful things of God, the wonderful things of God, that He talks out of my spirit and reveals to my heart. Tongues have been the making of my ministry." Are you hearing me? You'll have to. I mean, there are believers who get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then you ask them, you pray in other tongues sometimes. I know how to. So did you pray in other tongues? I know how to. When last did you pray in other tongues? I can't remember exactly. That battery is flat. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Learn to, in fact, the beauty of it is that it can be done anywhere. The beauty of it is that you can take it out of the closet and be praying other tongues under your breath. There are many times I've sat in meetings, secular meetings, and they are saying things and I'm praying other tongues. Because I'm trying to draw the answers, I'm trying to draw the inspiration, I'm trying to draw what I need to say. I'm drawing it out of my spirit, not just by my senses. Are you there? So three things I'm saying to you this morning. You want to walk in these spiritual manifestations? Desire them strongly, 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 strongly. Walk in love. You can't afford to be somebody who is offended easily, somebody who keeps malice, somebody who says that I can forgive but I can't forget. Why can't you forget? You know, if you don't think about it long enough, you forget it. Did you know that? I said, did you know that? The reason why you can't forget is because you keep rolling it in your mind, and sometimes you keep recounting the stories. You see somebody say, you know what Jide did to me. Then you will recount the story of what Jide did, and you will tell it in full, blow by blow. The person will say, let me finish the story. And what you are doing is like you are pulling off the scar on top of a wound. The wound is healing and the scar is forming over it and you are pulling it away. So it's opening again. So it's fresh. Are you hearing me? You know, I've had conversations with people and they say, that guy, he did something. I was very angry. They say, what did he do? I said, I can't quite remember what he did. But I knew I was angry then. I did something, but I was very angry, but I can't remember it anymore. Because I let it go. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm dealing with somebody, and God told me, He said, you are supposed to show him who a Christian is. very difficult to do. It's rubbing me wrong in many ways. But God said, I need you to show him who a believer is. So you have to walk in love. That's the only. He didn't say miracles. You know, I didn't say this an unsafe person. He didn't say miracle and all that. I've seen those ones at work. I traveled before. I've told you the story before. I traveled with somebody before. Doesn't believe God, or this is your talk and all of that. In fact, they ask me sometimes, I say, how can you be in your position and be talking faith at the same time? I say, it's impossible for you to talk science and not talk faith. It means you don't know the science enough. And we're traveling one day together, and the man said, this year, like, hey, with this transit time, hey, our bag will not arrive. I said, the bag will arrive. He said, no, I've done it before. And they did it. I said, sir, you are with me now. I said, and since you are with me now, that bag will arrive with us when we get there. He said, yeah, but the transit time, I said, sir, I've told you, you are with me. And when we got to the place, the bag came and I said, hey. I said, but I told you, you are with me. That was a sign. But God said, for this one, he said, you will walk in love. I need you to show him who a believer is. Are you there? And number three, pray in other tongues. Let's stand on our feet. And just begin to pray in other tongues if you can. Pray in other tongues a little bit. Pray in other tongues. Le prosopra kadish abrahande sopra kadish abrahande sokolo brikadish abrahatos. Le vosa prakish abrahando sopra bosto veladish sopra mondo sopra bosto veli. Le gendo sopra mondo sopra kadish abrahande sokondo le predish abrahata. Le bokolo broko bolos sopra kadish abrahande le broko polo bosto prakish abrahande. Le bobo bosto breke le bokro bosto velish abrahande. Le gida breke le bosto abrahando sopra bosto velish abrahande. Move in this place today. This is our one desire, that you will have your way. Touch us, Lord, and we won't be the same. Move in this place today. Move in this place today. This is our one desire, that you will have your